Welcome today. Today's reading is from John 15, 7 to 12, from the NIV version, and then Derek will bring us his message, Give Like Jesus.
This reading is from John 15, 7 to 12. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, also I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And we thank the Lord for his word. Amen.
Am I on? Morning.
Morning.
Bruce, where was that first house you built with steel? Do you remember where that first house was that you built with steel? I just want to know, in case I'm ever buying a rental property up there, I don't want to buy that one. So if you could give me the address, that'd be good. I don't know about you, but there's a bunch of stuff in this book, in the Bible, that I just can't get my head around. There's a whole lot of stuff in here that I sort of try and figure, how does that relate to me? What do I do with that? How does that affect the way I live? There's a whole bunch of other stuff which I look at and go, you know what, there's a whole bunch of cultural context going on here which I don't understand, and I'm really not sure what that passage means. And then there are other passages which I look at and I go, I don't know how those passages work together. There's something not right here with this passage and this passage. I can't, when I read this one I get this picture, when I read this one I get this picture, and I can't make them work together. And that's what I want to look at today. I want to look at two passages which have befuddled me. Two passages which have made me go, what's happening here? How can I reconcile these two things? Now, I'm pretty sure that's upside down and I'm going to make a mistake. Got it. So the first one is this. Matthew 5, 14 to 17, and it says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." It's a fairly straightforward verse, yeah? And Kay gave us a good explanation of it earlier. Do good deeds. Let them shine. Give God the glory. It's it's fairly easy, right? By itself, it's great. Then there's this verse in Matthew 6, or this passage in Matthew 6. "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what he's done in secret will reward you." Can you see my problem? Straight away we've got a problem. "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds." See your good deeds. "When you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what the right hand is doing, so that your giving is in secret." We've got a problem, right? Now, I can be accused of overthinking things a lot. I'm a questioner. I very rarely take things on face value. I always want to dig a little deeper, see what's going on. I don't sort of just say yes to things easy. Tim's finding that out, having me on the leadership team, that I don't just... You know, I push, I want to know what's going on. But I don't think you have to dig too deep into this or be too much of a questioner to see the problem here. Now, here's what happens when Christians get this stuff in the Bible that they don't understand more often than not. There are three ways we can deal with it. A lot of the time, we read something in the Bible that we don't like. Either it challenges or it questions us, or it looks like an inconsistency, and we just ignore it. I'll pretend I didn't see it. I'll just go on to the next page, move on. And then it just fades from our memory. The second way we can deal with it is to go, our God is a mysterious God and works in mysterious ways, and it's just the way it is. And to move on with life. I actually don't think that's the best way to deal with it. Now, you've heard me say before, if you've been here for any length of time, you've probably heard me say things like, I don't have to understand God's love, I just have to accept it. I don't have to understand who God is, I just have to accept him. And I think that's true. But what we're talking about here is not God himself or his love. We're talking about the thing that he uses to communicate with us. This is his communication to us. I think if we've got any chance of trying to understand God at all, we need to understand how his communication device. And I don't think it's good enough to go, oh, God works in mysterious ways, we'll just have to accept it. Because you know what? There are a whole bunch of really, really intelligent people out there who see things like this as blockages and can't come to faith because we as Christians go, oh, it's just the way it is. And I think we have a responsibility to dig into these things, to explore them, and see if we can figure out what's going on and what Jesus meant when he says these apparently contradictory statements. I think we have a responsibility to be questioners of the word. Not questioners of the word in a way that is, I don't believe what it says, I'm going to attack it, but questioners that go, I want to dig deeper, I want to know more. If I say to a young man that's coming into my school, fans, okay, who had a very good night last night, and Gary was willing to put, he was very quiet last week about the football, but very noisy this morning, just saying that. But if you say to Gary, a young man says to Gary, I play football, he images one thing. If he says to me, I play football, I image something else. And he says it to Tim, he probably images a different thing altogether. So what we need to do is we need to ask questions. Oh, what type of football? What? And so you ask questions to learn more, to get a deeper understanding. And we need to do the same of the word. We need to ask questions of the word, not because we're challenging it really, but to get a deeper understanding of it. So what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to try and reconcile these two verses. And these befuddled me, and I'm going to be honest with you, when I said to Tim just a couple of weeks ago, a couple of months ago, this is what I'd like to preach on that day, I hadn't reconciled them myself. I was still I'd read what the commentary said, but I wasn't happy with them. And that's again a thing I do. So I just wasn't happy with what was out there. And so I still needed to reconcile them. And so I said to Tim, I'd like to speak on this so I can spend some time, be forced to spend some time with them. So I'm going to take you through a process that I go through when I try and reconcile things like this. So the first thing I do is, I don't have my glasses on, so that's all fuzzy up there. Can you see it? Okay, good. So the first thing I do is I say to myself, I ask the question, who wrote the piece that we're looking at? Who wrote the contradictory passages? Okay, because we know that there are some apparent inconsistencies in the Bible that are just this person remembered it this way and that person remembered it that way. Peter denying Jesus in the temple is a good example. Matthew and Mark, they give slightly different accounts of what that looks like. Sometimes people are describing the same thing but from different angles. So if we can go, oh, there's two different authors, then we can find out their perspective and then we can go, okay, maybe that's where the problem is. So we have a look at who wrote the Let Your Shine passage. Well, it was Matthew, or the author of Matthew. We'll call him Matthew for today because that's easy. And then who wrote the Act in Secret passage? Well, it was Matthew as well. Well, that's not helpful. All right? So we're going to have to dig a little deeper. So then I go, the next thing is, and we can do this anyway, who is the audience? Who was Jesus talking to when he said the thing? Because we know, don't we, that we are all on different parts of a spiritual journey. We're all in different, we can say things like there's no them and them and us, which I agree with in principle. I agree there is no them and us. But we know for a fact that some people have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior and know who he is, and other people haven't. And there are people, and you know, if we don't acknowledge that, if we don't acknowledge that there are people who are unsaved and who don't know who Christ is, well, then our urgency to try and get them the message is not as great, and people are at risk of being left behind. We have to acknowledge that there are some people who are saved and some people who aren't. And Jesus, and the way we speak to different people in different groups is going to be different depending on where they are in their spiritual journey. So let's have a look. So if I go through it, and one of the really helpful things of the Bible, it's excellent for this as a source, it nearly always tells you who Jesus is speaking to. Nearly always. You have to roll back a little bit. So we're looking at Matthew 5:17, and I go back to Matthew 4:25, and it says this: large crowds from Galilee, and lists all these places, turned up. And then in Matthew 5:1, and then so Jesus saw the crowds and went onto the mountainside and sat down, and the disciples came to him and he began to teach them. So he's teaching the crowds and the disciples. Some people go, he's teaching the disciples in the presence of the crowds and he's actually talking to the disciples. It doesn't really matter. I think Jesus is a considerate man. He knew the crowds were listening. His words were for them as well. So he's speaking to the crowds and the disciples. So then I go across to the Matthew 6 passage. I go, who's he talking to here? So I backtrack a little bit from Matthew 6. And guess what? It's not a different group of people. It's actually the same dialogue. It's actually the same sermon, the same bit. It's the same people he's talking to. It's not just the same type of people, it's the exact same people. Now, some people will say that the Sermon on the Mount is a fictitious thing, and what they've done is they've taken different sermons of Jesus and put it together. Today I'm going to take the word at its word and go, according to Matthew, it's all part of one sermon. He's talking to the crowds and the disciples, so that's not helpful either, right? We still have this inconsistency. So now we have to dig a little deeper. And I like to start looking at key words. So, and normally when I do this, I'll have my interlinear Bible open, which has got all the Greek stuff in it, and go through. But we're not going to go through all that today because that we would be here forever, right? So this is the one I prepared earlier, okay? So the thing that in Matthew 5 that Jesus wants us to do is good deeds. When you do your good deeds, and the Greek word there literally translates as good deeds. And then in 6:1, it says, when you do your righteousness. And I go, oh, this is good. Now we've actually got something we can work with, right? We've got good deeds versus righteousness. And it says, practice your righteousness. So then we look at what's the difference between those two things. Well, maybe good deeds, and it's literally good deeds, helping other people, doing kind things, Tuesday night meals, school breakfasts, connect, all the good deeds we do. Let them shine. But your righteousness, the things that you do which you think make you better than other people, because that's really what your righteousness is. Because it doesn't say God's righteousness. It doesn't say practice God's righteousness in private. It says practice your righteousness in private. So those long-winded prayers, the wearing of the uniform, all those types of things which you think make you bring you a salvation that other people don't have, it's saying be careful about that. Do those things in private. See, because those righteous things, they can be faked. Those things which we do as holy sacrament, as ritual, they can be faked. But real, heartfelt good deeds can't be. And I'll talk a little bit more about that later. And if it was just that, it would be okay, right? I'd go, yep, I've got a reconciliation here. But I don't. Because it goes on to say, when you give to the needy, do it in secret. And the word there that's translated is charity. When you do your charity. What's another way of saying charity? Good deeds. So we're back to where we started. We're back to good deeds in private, or in you know, let them shine, and back to good deeds or charity in private, in secret. So we're back to where. So we need to dig a little deeper. Here it says, "Let your light shine." Let's go to the passages which actually cause the trouble. Now the words which are causing the concern. Let your light shine and do not announce it with trumpets. Now, I'm a little hopeful when I got to this part. I'm like, actually, I can start seeing some progress here. I think I'm about to get to the reconciliation here. Because it doesn't say, make your light shine. Can you see that? It says, let your light shine. Which is very different to saying, make your light shine. And it says, do not announce with trumpets. Okay, so then I go, well, let's look at these sentences a little bit more. And let your light shine finishes. Let your light shine and glorify your Father in heaven. And the other one says, do not announce with trumpets so that you'll be honoured by others. So I go, okay, now I'm onto something. Now we're getting close. The first one is let your light shine so God can receive the glory. The other one is don't announce it with trumpets because if you do, you're doing it for your own glory and be humble. And so, and this is what all the commentaries say. The commentaries say it's about motivation. They say it's about, I had someone say this to me during the week as I was, you know, doing some discussion with some people who helped me with these things. And he's like, well, the way I see it is this. If your motivation for doing good things is to get pats on the back, well, you need to check yourself and do everything in secret. But if your motivation is to do things for God's glory, then do them in public so people can see. And I sort of think there's some validity in that, a lot of validity in that. But I sort of think to myself, if you're of a mindset that wants to do things for your own glory, do you have the capacity to be self-aware of that? Like, just by noticing that you're doing that, like, you're going to do that in your ignorance, are you? So how can you make yourself do those things in secret? So I think it goes even deeper. And I want to look at this new command. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this will everyone know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And I think the important part for us today from this verse is that by this everyone will know you are my disciples. He doesn't go on to talk about trumpets or light shining or anything here. But what he's saying is this. When you show love for one another, people will see it. When you show love one for another, people will go, that makes them my disciples. The holy righteous things you do, the sacraments, the holy rituals, those types of things, they won't impress people out there because they know they can be faked as well. But when you have a genuine love for each other, and how do we display a genuine love for each other? We are kind, we're compassionate, we forgive, we tolerate, there's a whole bunch of things, but we do good deeds for each other. We help each other out. We show our love that manifests in actual deeds and things that we do. And the word charity that was used before, we translate that now as doing good things for each other, right? But charity was actually a word that comes out of the Middle Ages from a Latin word and an Old English word put together. And the original definition of charity is Christian love of the highest form. When we show charity for each other, we show Christian love of the highest form. And that's something that can't be hidden. It doesn't matter how much you try and hide Christian love of the highest form when you're doing it for each other, when you're motivated by Christ, it will shine. So here's my reconciliation of these two verses. Do what you do in secret. Just try and do it in secret. You shouldn't need any motivation. It shouldn't be about motivation because you're just doing it because the love of Christ compels you. Do those things in secret. As you keep doing them in secret, the world will be a better place around you and it will be its own light. And like a city on the hill, you won't be able to hide it. It's not about intentionally making it shine because it doesn't say that. It says let it shine. It's not about intentionally trying to put a lamp over and hold it. It's about just letting the love of God flow through you. Live like Christ. Show love to one another. And the light will shine. You won't be able to do anything about it. And then when people say to you, when it starts to shine, when it starts to exude out, and it won't be necessarily the deed you do, you won't necessarily get a pat on the back for doing that good thing, but people will go, what is it about you that's different? What is it about your space? What is it about your community? And we already know that about Caloundra Salvation Army, right? We already know that there's a community here of which the light shines and which we are different. When people ask us, the answer is because the love of Christ compels us. Not a motivation to even honour ourselves or to even honour God for that matter. We don't go, oh, you know what, I better do that good deed because it'll honour God. I don't think that's why we do things. I think we just do them because we can't not. I think we do them because we are compelled by the love of Christ, and then the light will shine. But here's the thing. You can't love others the way God loves you until you understand and accept how much God loves you. Love one another as I have loved you is the command. Not do unto others as you would have them do unto you, or love your neighbour as you love yourself. That's been put to bed now by Jesus. He goes, no, here's a new command, which is even better than that one. Love one another as I have loved you. You cannot pass that love on to other people until you know how much God loves you and you have accepted it. And you know what? Once you do know, once you experience God's love, you have no choice. You have to pass it on. And then the light shines, regardless of whether you try to do it in secret or not. That's my reconciliation of those two verses anyway. I would suggest you go and read them yourself and come up with your own if you're not happy with that one, or even if you are happy with that one, go and do a bit of a look through it and see what you can come up with. Study the Word. Be people who look at the Word and go, what does it mean for me? Because we're all on different paths. We're all on different stages in our journey. I'm going to ask Judah to play a song in a minute. And, I'm going the wrong way. I'm going to ask Judah to play a song in a minute. Now, you people here know that I am moved by music, right? You know, I love music and I'm moved by it. I'm very rarely broken by it the way this song breaks me, though. It's as if the songwriter reached into my heart and wrote down my confession. I first heard it about 6 months ago. And I would really love to sing it for you one day, but I can't get through it. I can't even, if you see me driving down the highway on the way to school some morning, if this comes on my Spotify, I'll be crying, trying to listen to the song. It's a beautiful song. And maybe it won't mean the same to you as it does to me, but there are a couple of things that I want to point out that are relevant for what we're talking about today. My heart is so proud, my mind is so unfocused. I see the things you do through me as great things I have done. That charitable work that you do, it's not yours, it's God's. There is no honour for you here on earth in that thing. There might be pats on the back and newspaper articles and things like that, but you know what? The glory is God's. We need to see them. We don't let our heart be proud and unfocused. We have to stop seeing the things God does for us as great things we are doing. Later on it says, for who am I to serve you? I know I don't deserve you. You know what? In our own right, this is a scriptural truth that we don't deserve. That's why it's called grace, yeah? If we deserved it, it wouldn't be called grace. But once grace is applied, guess what? When God says you deserve it, you do. And we teach this thing about not deserving it so much that sometimes people can't accept it. No, you don't deserve grace. But God says you do, so guess what? You do. Come to that understanding. Realize that you deserve God's grace because He says you do. And then you can serve Him the way He wants you to. And then there's this line. So instead of trying to repay you, I'm learning to simply obey you. The good things we do, the good deeds, the charitable works, they will never, ever come close to paying the debt of grace. It's a debt that you cannot repay. So don't even try. Do the good deeds because Christ compels you to, and you simply are obeying him, not in some attempt to repay him. And then I simply obey you by giving up my life to you for all that you've given to me. That's what it comes down to. Accept the love that Christ has given to you. Pass it on to people around you and let it shine. Judah, if we can play that song now, please. As this song's playing, place of prayer is here. Feel free to come and, you know, maybe if you've got business to do with your God over these things, do business with your God. Maybe your heart's proud and unfocused and you need to give some of that up. But this is also a place of victory, and I was thinking this morning as I was doing my final preparations for this, I was thinking of the people in my life who showed me Christ's love and are the reason that I'm here today. Because for all of us who know Christ, there is a human who manifested Christ's love to us. So maybe this morning, where you sit, or maybe you've never taken the time to thank God for that person, where you sit or at the place of prayer, you can make that prayer. Whatever it is, it's time to forget about the things that I've said. It's time to forget about my reconciliations. It's time to tune your hearts into really what God has to say to you today. Do business with him and respond to him however he asks you to. Thanks, Judah.
Thank you for joining us today. If you would like to know more, our service is on Sunday at 10 a.m. at the Caloundra Salvation Army, 119 Sugarbag Road, Little Mountain. God bless.